Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is October 4th, 2017. Great to be here, and I'm glad that you are here joining us in the Advanced Studio, listening in on our programs. I come back every once in a while to Taipei and pay a visit, and Doris is kind enough to let me sneak into the studio here and record a few programs, and I get a chance to work with some great panelists like Zach Mills and Lois Fisk, who are here today with me on this article. Especially, I love working with my magical producer, Marco Chuang. I sound great on the air. Believe me, if you talked to me in real life, you'd say, "What happened?" You don't sound like you sound like on the radio because Marco does such a great job of making me sound good. He cleans up all of my mistakes, and he does some other magical mystery things back there in the sound booth that make my voice sound like honey. Yeah. Anyway, great to be here. I love Advanced, love the magazine, love Doris, and I love you students. I love you listeners. I'm lucky when I do come back to Taipei and I have a chance to run into some of you and see out there, and you always amaze me. So with your grit, with your perseverance and your passion for learning English and learning through Advanced, and I'm impressed by you. You're better than you realize. And we're going to talk some about grit today and tomorrow in our speed review. It's a great article that talks about why do people make it, and why do most people not make it? And our writer, Angela Duckworth, she wrote a book talking all about this. And, you know, what is it? What is it that, you know, separates the people? And, you know, we're going to cover that in the next day or two. First, let me get some words of wisdom from our two panelists. And Lois Fisk, do you have grit?
Well, you know, I think I have grit in some areas and in some things and in not in others. And I think you'd find that with a lot of people.
Okay. Yes. That's a very good way of putting it. There are certain things you have it in and other things you don't. Well, what's all right, now let me dig deeper on this. What's the difference? What's why?
Well, I think for some people, if they were honest, they have grit in areas that really interest them. And maybe areas that they're not pushed into so much. So sometimes I think when we're raising our children, if you observe them and you actually want to learn something from your kids, not your kids just learn something from you, you will see when we go through this article, wow, my child or teenager has real, or adult has real grit in this area.
Okay.
And sometimes the things you're really not interested in, you might just do what you need to get by.
Okay.
It's not like you're going to let it just slip, but just do what has to kind of be done.
Okay. Zach, now, the subtitle here is The Power of Passion and Perseverance. Do you have passion and perseverance?
Well, I certainly hope so. Having read the article ahead of time, you know, it's encouraging to hear that you can have passion and have perseverance and to have grit, because, you know, for a lot of us, I know certainly for me, having great enough talent or being, you know, regarded a genius, that's kind of an out of reach reality. So, you know, for the rest of us, we need grit, we need passion, and we need something to have purpose to be determined in order to reach our goals.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yes, you mentioned genius and talent, and there are plenty of talented people in the world, geniuses in the world, that never really get very far.
Right.
I mean, some do, but there are a lot of really smart people, a lot of talented people that don't finish the race.
Right.
They don't even get halfway through the race. And a lot of that is, it's you know, people look at this and say, wow, this guy is so smart or this gal is so talented. You know, why not? But for some reason, something's missing.
Mm.
Doesn't make them bad. Doesn't even make them lazy. That's one thing I want to talk about, is that just because somebody is talented or smart and they don't accomplish their goals, that doesn't mean they're lazy.
No.
Or that they're some slacker, does it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much of what you mentioned, so much of it is purpose. People do need purpose. Why am I doing this? Whatever it is. And also passion. I care about this. I don't care about this. And so it doesn't matter how much motivation you try to give somebody or threats you try to give somebody to achieve. If there's no purpose and or if there is no passion, it's pointless. You know, it's not going to happen. However, if they do have purpose and passion, we can conquer the world.
Right. Yeah. And you mentioned those two words, passion and perseverance. I'd throw one more P word in there. And I think grit produces practice, right? Like if you really care about it and you really want to reach that goal, then you're going to wake up every day and practice.
As I was reading this article, I was thinking about that too, these things, the passion and perseverance, and then follow that with the practice. We're talking external and internal. Okay. The external things will only go so far to motivate people. It's got to come internally. Then if there is that motivation internally, then that will follow through then on practice as the person wants to really get better. And they will do it without motivation or threats. So let's get into our reading here. We're going to learn about this book by Angela Duckworth. And it's a really good book. And I think it's relevant not only for all of our adult listeners, but particularly for our students here in Asia, our university students, our high school students who face so many academic pressures and also choices and pressures about life. What are you going to do with your life and things like that? So I think it's a really relevant book. And it's relevant for even our older readers, you know, our 40, 50-year-old readers and listeners, because what happens is later in life, we kind of run out of gas. We run out of gas, and then we start asking, why am I here? What am I doing here? And particularly as careers wane, W-A-N-E, drag, and you become less excited about your career, and you wonder, why am I in this job? Why do I stay at this company then? This is actually a good book for us all to reflect on, because we all face that day and that question of, what am I doing here? Okay. Well, what we are doing here right now is having our first reading.
Grit, the power of passion and perseverance. Angela Duckworth, a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, won a 2013 MacArthur Fellowship, an award so prestigious that it is also known as the Genius Grant. As Duckworth explains in the foreword of her latest book, Grit, the award of the grant reminded her that throughout her childhood, her scientist father would despair that she was no genius. In other words, that she just wasn't smart enough or didn't have a great enough talent in anything. And he was right. As Duckworth explains in her book, genius or talent didn't win her the coveted MacArthur Fellowship. It was grit. According to Duckworth, grit is the combination of unbridled passion and unrelenting perseverance, a combination, she writes, that will overcome innate talent or hard work or high IQ or any of the other assumed key success factors for individuals.
Okay, we are learning about Angela Duckworth right here, and what does she do for work?
So Angela Duckworth is a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania.
All right.
So I want to know, as a Canadian, where is that located, University of Pennsylvania?
Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's located in Philadelphia. So UPenn, and also, you know, famously known for Wharton School of Business. So there is some confusion between my school, Pennsylvania State University, which is right in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
You know, that's not UPenn, so... a lot of people think I went to Penn, and I'm not that smart. So, okay. But anyways, it's not
you
a bad
You went to
school.
University of Pennsylvania?
I went to Penn State University.
Penn State.
Yeah,
okay.
Now that I thoroughly confused everybody, let's get back to this article. Angela Duckworth won a 2013 MacArthur Fellowship. What is that?
Well, this was news to me, and it's in our specialized terms. It says an award given to individuals who meet specific standards based on accomplishments, dedication to creativity in their work, and potential future success.
Yeah, okay. A fellowship actually is, in some ways, is a scholarship for outstanding students. You'll hear that word fellowship in a lot of different schools, usually for the high achievers, the great students, people that show great promise. So it's so prestigious that it is also known as the Genius Grant. So sounds like something maybe Zach won.
Wasn't something that I won, I'll tell you that.
Prestigious. What does prestigious mean, Zach?
Sure. So here it says it's very much a respected or admired type of status, right, okay. To usually be regarded as very, very important.
Now, am I right? Do you hear it as prestigious as well? That word?
Either way, you hear prestigious or prestigious.
All right.
Either way, right, yeah. And so it's highly respected, and if you get this award, then, you know, the people will highly respect you. So as Duckworth explains in the foreword to her latest book, Grit, the award of the grant, what?
Well, it says reminded her, the grant reminded her that throughout her childhood, her scientist father would despair that she was no genius.
Mm.
Now, you know what? I'm a parent. And when I read these couple of paragraphs here, as a parent, I actually kind of got upset.
Why? What do you mean?
In other words, that she just wasn't smart enough or didn't have a great enough talent in anything. So okay. I was thinking, did she pick that up in the home? And that disturbed me as a parent.
Well, I think that's what it, you know, she remembers that. That's what this sentence, I think, is talking about, because this award, you know, Genius Grant, it reminded her that we even framed the father by saying scientist father.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what we're saying is scientist father. We're not even saying her father. We got to add in, or at least the writer added in, scientist father, implying he's some kind of, like, brilliant guy.
Right, and we have heard children say, I mean, she's a psychologist, so she, a professor of psychology, she's very familiar with this. We've heard that parents have said, you're no genius to their kid.
Mm.
And I guess just reading all this, it was a little disturbing to me as once being a child myself and also
right.
being a parent.
Right. It's discouraging rather than encouraging if that is the case. Despair. Let me ask Zach to tell me, what does despair mean? He said that she would despair. What does that mean?
Right. So despair in this case would be, it's kind of to be so upset by. To
right.
be unnerving, to be unsettling.
Yeah, okay, like he almost doesn't know what to do. Oh, what am I going to do? You're no genius. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Oh.
Right.
Yeah, he feels hopeless in a way. Now, for Angela, in other words, what she was getting out of this from sounds like from some interchange with her father was that she just wasn't smart enough or didn't have great enough talent in anything. So I think we've learned today not to do that with children. It probably is counterproductive to just, you know, tell them they're not going to do anything. If anything, we want to encourage them and get them moving in the right direction. And interestingly, though, this next sentence, a very abrupt four-word sentence says, and he was right. What's going on here with this four-word sentence?
Well, perhaps in some way that Angela reflected and knew herself to say, well, you know what, maybe I don't have enough talent to meet all of my goals, or mm-hmm. I'm not quite up to par with my grades or
yep.
whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly what Duckworth explains in her book, that, no, what she's saying is, he's right, I wasn't a genius. Genius or talent did not win her the coveted MacArthur Fellowship. What did?
It was grit.
Her grit.
Her own grit.
So, all right, so she didn't have this ingredient. Genius. Does that mean she's going to be a failure forever?
No, and she might actually, or her father might actually, be judging harshly. Mm-hmm. Because I often think that genius isn't always to do with IQ.
Yeah, and actually, we have a saying in English, there's a difference between being intelligent and being smart, mm-hmm. right? And for instance, intelligence, we can measure intelligence with like IQ. You can have a high IQ, mean you're very intelligent. You might be a great student, get high grades. The difference though is, or you can be very smart. You don't have to be intelligent to be very smart. Smart meaning you can be very clever and you can figure things out. You can read people. You can read situations. You may not have the highest IQ on earth, and there are plenty of success stories around of people who don't have high IQs but are incredibly successful because they're smart.
Right.
They're clever.
Or a combination of, when I think clever, I often think of wise, and then this grit. What if you have a combination of wise and grit?
Yeah.
I think you can accomplish the world, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing is, as I read that paragraph, is I thought, you know what? Her father was disappointed she wasn't a genius, and actually sometimes a genius can be more of a curse than a blessing, because a lot of times for many people, particularly younger people under 20, if it comes too easy, if we are too smart, then we take that for granted. And then we can fall behind because we rely on, well, I'm a genius and I don't have to work so hard.
Right, so we lose our work ethic maybe.
Right, yeah, yep. So, okay, so she says it was her grit that got her through. According to Duckworth in the next paragraph.
Yeah, so grit is a combination of unbridled passion and unrelenting perseverance.
Okay. Unbridled passion, Zach.
So kind of a passion that is hard to control. It's just so zealous, or it's so just stirring inside of you that it's uncontrollable.
Okay, great. Yeah, unbridled also, that term comes from horses. Usually we put a bridle on a horse to control the horse's power. As far as when we like hook them up to a wagon, they need a bridle, and then we can control them, their strength and their power. Unbridled means we just let the horse run free and just goes crazy with energy.
It reminded me when I read this little part here growing up, and my sister and I would watch these romantic westerns. It sounds exactly like it.
Unbridled passion.
Yes. Unrelenting perseverance. They were opening up the West, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, what about this unrelenting perseverance? Those are two big words.
Exactly. Unrelenting perseverance. Unrelenting is extremely determined, never becoming weaker or admitting defeat. Now, when I just said about those romantic westerns, if you watch romantic westerns in the like 60s and 70s, it would be like they were opening the West of North America, and you just had to have this unrelenting perseverance. You were going to succeed no matter what.
Yes.
And you had to have perseverance, grit, or whatever, because it was a harsh land.
You were going to die.
You were.
If you didn't accomplish, you were either going to accomplish your goal or die. That was that unrelenting perseverance, right? And in fact, that is not fiction. There are true stories of people all around the world, explorers and settlers and people that would go out, and they were just saying, look, we're going to die or we're going to do this. So, and there are many, many stories like that. That's what you call unrelenting perseverance, people that just would not quit. On a smaller scale, ants have unrelenting perseverance. You ever watch an ant? An ant will not stop. I don't care what you do with an ant is going to go where it wants to go.
Well, look at the picture on our page.
Yeah, there's a snail pushing a rock up there or a boulder up the hill.
I think it's a berry maybe.
Yeah. So, all right. So unbridled passion and unrelenting perseverance, a combination that she writes that will overcome innate talent or hard work or high IQ or any other assumed key success factors for individuals. All right, let me back up to this word, innate talent. What do we mean, innate?
Yeah, innate talents that may, it's almost like a natural succession. It's just coming kind of from you.
Yeah, I always think innate, it's in you, right?
It's in you, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like almost part of your DNA or something like that. So, all right, all of these things, are great, but we do need this passion and perseverance. Let's get into our second reading.
Duckworth first demonstrated the power of grit at West Point, where she sought to answer a question that had eluded a number of psychologists for decades. Why did so many new cadets drop out in the first training program of their West Point careers? Only a tiny portion of candidates make it through the admission gauntlet into West Point, and only if they receive a high enough whole candidate score, which carefully measures the likelihood that candidates have the mental and physical capabilities to make it at West Point. Thus, most should be in a position to survive the brutal 7-week training course known as Beast Barracks. Yet many didn't, and surprisingly, their scores on the whole candidate score bore no correlation to whether or not they dropped out.
Okay, our writer of this book, Grit, Angela Duckworth, first demonstrated the power of grit at West Point, which is the United States Military Academy. They train people to be officers in the Army. It's a university, but of course it's for the military. And she was there. She was seeking to answer a question that had eluded a number of psychologists for decades. First off, she was seeking an answer to a question that eluded. What does that mean, eluded a number of psychologists?
Well, I think eluded means you can't find the answer. It's not there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And this is not like people didn't ask this question before. They didn't have a clear answer. They probably had some guesses. They probably had some serious considerations about, well, we think we know the reason why. But they still didn't know for sure. And that question was,
why did so many new cadets drop out in the first training program of their West Point careers?
Okay, great question. Now, cadets, that would be the first-year students. Actually, all of the students at West Point are called cadets, 1 through 4. But they, instead of calling them students, they call them cadets. It's a military term to refer to their students. So the question is, look, this is a tough school. Whether it's the United States Military Academy or the Naval Academy, any military school mm-hmm. in any country around the world
right.
is brutal, far more brutal than most colleges or universities you're going to go to for a number of different reasons. And so the question is, though, the reason it's such a difficult question is, like, these are, like, really good people, good students. These are good people. These aren't weak students in physically or mentally. The thing is, why are they dropping out? Now, first off, drop out. What do we mean, drop out?
Drop out means they do not continue with school. They get started, and then they don't complete it.
Right.
And it's maybe over in a very short time.
This is their first training program. This is early. This is the first couple of months they're dropping out. We got great guys here, great gals. They're dropping out. We're losing them. What's going on? Only a tiny portion of candidates make it through the admission gauntlet. Into West Point. So what is a gauntlet?
Yeah, so this word gauntlet is kind of, it refers to like an obstacle course, often something physical trying to prevent you or to keep you from getting somewhere, but it also could be a mental challenge or obstacle to overcome.
Right. So getting admitted, it's really quite challenging. All the tests that you've got to go through, it's not, oh, do you have good grade averages? Do you have activities that you know, things that you participate in? There's, when they consider the students, they also have this whole candidate score that it's like a measurement that they go through with all of the students to check to see if they are high enough. This is beyond what any other university or college does to admit students. This whole candidate score carefully measures the likelihood the candidates have the mental and physical capabilities to make it at West Point. Most universities aren't measuring whether their students have the mental and physical capabilities to make it through. But they have to do this because one of the things is they do go through a lot of physical, I'm going to call it abuse, from the upperclassmen, okay? And they're in the first couple of months, these first-year cadets are, you know, in addition to very challenging academics, they're being forced to do a lot of physical tests that make it almost impossible for the normal human being to go through. So they want to know before we let them in, can these men and women do it? So they bring these students in and they think, well, Most should be in a position to survive the brutal 7-week training course known as Beast Barracks. That's where they get beaten up and they can't sleep and, you know, their upperclassmen are torturing them or, I mean, are, you know, not torturing them, but
being
really
tough
making
on
it
them.
Rough.
Yeah, yeah, they're making rough and tough.
Yeah. Yet, what, Lois?
Yet many didn't. And surprisingly, their scores on the whole candidate score bore no correlation whether or not they dropped out.
Okay, correlation. Who can help me out with correlation?
Correlation just means connection. There was not a connection between how they were scoring and why they were dropping out. Tests seemed to be inconclusive.
So, that was the mystery. West Point, and we're talking about some smart people here with years and years, decades of experience, had this test, the whole candidate score, to help them determine how likely these really intelligent and physically fit people would be to make it through. And essentially what this sentence is saying is that the whole candidate score was a failure. No way of predicting who was going to make it or not. So that's why they brought Angela Duckworth in and said, we think we know people should succeed, but we're failing at this, at predicting who is succeeding. In essence, who is staying, who is graduating, who is going on to great military careers as officers. So that's where this fine young woman comes in and helps them out, which we're going to learn about tomorrow. Listeners, thanks for being here today. Come on back. We'll see you then. Goodbye.